The scripture reading this morning is from Revelation 5, verses 1 to 14. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll to look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in sea and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on a throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Praise be the word of the Lord.
Would you please bow in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning because we need to hear from you. And so, Lord, as we now explore your word, we ask that you would open our minds, our ears, and our eyes to see and hear what you have for us, that we might understand your view of what the world is and live in the joy and the security of knowing where things are going and how things are going to turn out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last Sunday, Last Sunday, we looked at Revelation chapter 4, which is the first foundational scene in this big, long vision that stretches from chapter 4 through the end of the book of Revelation. And in that chapter, we learned that the foundational truth and good news, we learned that there's a foundational truth that despite the chaos that surrounds us on earth, God is still on his heavenly throne. He is in control, and he is worthy to sit on that throne, for he is our creator, and he is good. So despite the chaos, our good God is sitting on the throne of heaven. But many have asked the question, and maybe you have too, if God is so good and so powerful, if he's really on the throne, why doesn't he just put an end to the chaos now? Why doesn't God stop hurricanes from devastating the poorest people in the world? Why doesn't God put an end to the horrors of sickness and disease? Why doesn't God put an end to the evils of sin? Why does he let murderers murder and thieves steal and liars lie? Why doesn't he just step in like Superman would and put an end to it all? I mean, he's got the power, right? He's on the throne. Why doesn't he just vanquish evil and start paradise? After all, that is what we're asking when we ask this question, isn't it? We're asking for paradise. And if God is in good and in control, we ask the question sometimes, I think, why isn't there just paradise right now? Why the delay? Well, chapter 5 of Revelation answers this question. And that answer starts with what John sees the one on the throne in heaven holding in his right hand. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals." Now, once again, I'm going to put out a plea for humility in interpreting the book of Revelation, because there are many different ideas about what is written inside the scroll in God's right hand in this vision. But the fact remains that in the book of Revelation, we are actually never directly told the contents of the scroll. As Paul Spilsbury has pointed out, the scroll, whatever its contents may be, serves to delay what we would naturally expect to be an immediate and very clear revelation. We expect the seals to be quickly opened and the document to actually be read out in the vision. But instead, as we shall see in coming weeks, the opening of each seal issues in an event. And it takes a whole chapter to open the first six seals. And then there are two scenes after that where John says nothing about the seals at all. And when we finally get to the opening of the seventh seal, it issues not in the reading of the scroll, not in a vision of it being read, but in a vision of seven angels blowing seven trumpets. And then just when you think the trumpets are almost done, there are seven thunders. But then John is told, well, don't say anything about those. And then we get another digression, a couple other little scenes of digression, and we come to seven bowls. And then after the pouring out of the seven bowls, we are at the final judgment and the book comes to the end. There's actually no point in the book of Revelation where the contents of the scroll are simply read out to us. So we're left to look for clues within the book to try and figure out what it is that's contained within the scroll. And Christians come to different conclusions. Some think we start getting to the contents of the scroll starting right away in chapter 6. Others think it starts in chapter 8. Others think it starts in chapter 11. And still others think it doesn't come until chapters 21 and 22 at the very end of the book. In those people's mind, all the stuff through chapters 6 through 20 is related to the opening of the seals. But what everyone seems to agree on, praise the Lord, is that the function of the scroll, they all agree about what it's doing, what the purpose of it is. See, everyone seems to agree that if the scroll in the right hand of God is not opened, then the new heavens and the new earth will not come to be. Everyone seems to be on the same page with this. If the scroll is not opened, paradise does not happen. Thus, as people who long for paradise, people who want the chaotic evil on earth to end, we want the scroll in God's right hand to be opened, because that's what needs to happen to put an end to evil and chaos forever. And therefore, when the mighty angel comes down in verse 2 and cries out, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" And then we learn in verse 3 that no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. We can understand John's reaction in verse 4 when he writes, "I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or even look inside of it." No one was worthy to open the scroll. No one. That is the biggest thing standing in the way of the paradise of the new heavens and the new earth. A search was made in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that is, amongst the dead, and no one in all of human history was found who was trustworthy. There was no human being God could trust to bring about the plan for salvation in his right hand. I think we need to let that sink in. No one was worthy. Not you, not me, not the best person you can think of. If God gave any of us the authority to carry out his plans, to open the scroll, we would mess it up. We would not bring about paradise. We do not have what it takes. Therefore, one of the big reasons why the chaos of evil has remained with us for so long is because there was no one of us that was worthy to open the scroll. But then John hears something. And I want you to remember that in the book of Revelation, what John hears and what John then sees are meant to be connected. And in verse 5, one of the 24 elders that were standing around the throne speaks to John, and he gives him two commands and then some good news. So first he commands John to stop weeping, and then he commands John to look. And as John is turning to look, the elder tells him what he's about to see. In verse 5 we read, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep, look. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed," or literally conquered. "He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Now the two titles that the elder uses both come from the Old Testament and are titles for the Messiah, for the anointed King of God, who was promised to the people of Israel. The title "the Lion of the tribe of Judah" comes from Genesis chapter 49, verse 9. And the title "the Root of David" comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And together, they refer to a mighty king, God's Messiah or Christ, who would come and destroy the enemies of God and lead his people into peace. And so John turns, expecting to see a ferocious lion or at least a terrifying-looking man. But then John's imagination gets the biggest shock in history. For when he turned, he did not see a lion, but a lamb. In fact, the word for lamb refers to a little lamb. Expecting to see a lion, John turns to look, and he says to us in verse 6, "Then I saw a little lamb, looking as if it had been slaughtered, but standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." The mighty hero of God, who will destroy God's enemies and lead his people into peace, the Lion of Judah, turns out to be a slaughtered little lamb. And this reveals the real reason why we question the truth that God is on the throne. We think that the most powerful being in the universe conquers through being like a lion, through tearing apart his enemies. But it turns out that the most powerful being in the universe conquers through being a slaughtered little lamb. It turns out, my brothers and sisters, that we have no clue what real power is. We think real power comes through violence. We do. We think that power that can conquer and take over is what is going to rule the day. But God doesn't think that. God knows that true power comes through a God who steps into history and lets us kill him. And so the elder says to John, "Do not weep. Look, the Lion of Judah has conquered by being a slaughtered little lamb, by dying at the hands of all of us who are unworthy to open the scroll. Jesus, the Lamb of God, has become the one and only human being who is worthy, who can be trusted to bring God's plan about, who can lead us into the promised land of the paradise of God." And this is affirmed by the imagery that's associated with the lamb. In verse 6, we're told that the lamb had seven horns. Seven is the number of completion or perfection in John's revelation. And horns are the Old Testament symbol for strength. So the message of seven horns is that the lamb is perfect in strength or power. And then we're also told that the lamb has seven eyes. The lamb has perfect vision. He sees everything. And this means not only that he's omniscient, that he knows all the facts, it means that he also knows what to do with the facts. No one, in other words, is ever going to pull a fast one on this guy. The lamb is not just perfect in knowledge, he's perfect in wisdom. And why is he perfect in wisdom? Well, because the seven eyes are the seven spirits of God going out into all the earth. You see, we're prone to forget that the words Messiah and Christ mean anointed one, and that the anointing being referred to is not being anointed with oil, but being anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. The Messiah is king because he is the bearer of God's Spirit. He's that anointed one. This is why he has perfect wisdom. He has the mind of God. So the Lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. He's perfect in power and wisdom. And therefore, what he chooses to do with his life is the wisest and most powerful action in all of history. And what did he choose to do? He chose to remain faithful to God, his Father, unto death, even death on a cross. That act was perfect power and perfect wisdom. That is what makes him worthy to open the scroll. In fact, that's the meaning of the image that will be used for Jesus for the rest of the book of Revelation, with a few exceptions. The image of the slaughtered lamb. It is the blood of the slaughtered lamb during Passover which redeemed the people of Israel, saving their firstborn from the angel of death. It was a slaughtered lamb that was offered daily in the temple to take away sin. And the image of the slaughtered lamb is the image used in Isaiah chapter 53 to describe the prophesied servant of the Lord whose death would take away our sins. There is no action in history that is wiser or more powerful than Jesus' willing death on the cross. The self-sacrificial love of Jesus that he lived out on the cross is wiser than the counsel of all the best leaders in the world combined, and it is more powerful than all the nuclear weapons on earth. It is what makes Jesus worthy to open the scroll and to carry out God's plan to save his people and free us from evil and chaos forever. As the song sung in verses 9 and 10 confirms, where they sang, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals." Why? "Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Jesus is worthy because he was slain. He is the Lion of Judah, the one who has already conquered, precisely because he is the slain lamb who laid down his life. And every commentator I have ever read agrees that this is the main point of Revelation chapter 5. Jesus, the little lamb who was slain, is the lion who has conquered and who is worthy to open the scroll. But that raises the question, will he do it? Will he open the scroll for us? Jesus, the lamb, is the only one who's worthy. Will he do it? Can you picture with me the moment when the risen and ascended Jesus Christ enters into heaven and walks up to his Father on the throne and takes the scroll from his hand? That moment when Jesus committed himself to saving us, is it any wonder that that is the moment when praise and worship explodes in heaven and creates a wave of worship that eventually encompasses every living creature? The moment that Jesus takes the scroll, we're told that the four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb and worship with the song found in verses 9 and 10. And this issues in praise from all the angels in heaven in verses 11 and 12, which in turn leads to praise from every living creature in verse 13. And finally, with the Amen in verse 14 from the ones who started it all. So last week we learned that at its most foundational level, the book of Revelation is a call to worship God. It's a call to worship God, the one on the throne. This week in chapter 5, we learned the equally foundational truth that it is the Lamb who was slain and who has taken the scroll who enables us to obey that call to worship God. For it is only when we grasp something of the perfect power and wisdom of what Jesus has done on the cross, that we can live amidst the chaos here on earth and still worship God. Worship like they do in the book and cry out, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." We can obey the call in the book of Revelation to worship God and receive the blessings promised in it because of Jesus Christ, the Lamb who has conquered by giving his life in self-sacrificial love for us. He is the great Passover lamb, the one who can lead God's people out of Egypt and into the promised land, where there will be no more tears or pain or death or chaos or evil of any kind. And he alone is worthy. And the good news is that he's taken on the challenge. He's taken the scroll with the seven seals. And Revelation chapter 6 through 20 is the vision that was given to John by God, revealing how the Lamb will lead his people to that promised land, into the new heavens and the new earth. But the reason for this vision and the foundation that it sits on is to help us as followers of God here and now to view everything on earth from the point of view of these two foundational truths. The fact that the Lord Almighty is on the throne, he's in control. And the fact that the slain lamb has already conquered and has taken the scroll, and he alone can lead us into victory. Therefore, we're called to trust God and to follow the lamb wherever he goes. For yes, there is chaos on evil on earth, isn't there? But when we ask the question, why doesn't God do something? The answer is he already has. Jesus, the lamb with the seven horns and seven eyes, has already conquered through his self-sacrificial death on the cross. And he has taken the scroll with the seven seals from the right hand of the one on the throne, and he is beginning to open that scroll and lay out our salvation. And when we know that, we can worship God even in the midst of the chaos here and now. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who understands what real power is, that you know that self-sacrificial love, especially the love that was demonstrated by your Son, Jesus Christ, is more powerful than any threat of violence that can ever come against us. And Heavenly Father, we want to live in the light of that truth, the truth that was revealed through your Son, Jesus Christ, who was obedient to you and gave up his life for us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us trust you and that you'd help us worship you through an understanding of what your Son has done. And we pray this to the glory of your name and his. Amen.